In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In the early church, in the first centuries, including the centuries after the legalization of the church in the fourth century, the early practice of the church was that after receiving communion for the very first time, those who had been catechumens then had that sacrament, that mystery that had occurred, that they had prepared for so long, sometimes 3 years long, coming out of the chaos and immorality of the ancient world and preparing to unite oneself to Christ in his church. After they had received communion for the first time, then the meaning of what had occurred was put into words to the degree that it is possible to put those things into words. And it is not possible to fully put them into words. The union of ourselves with God through Christ at the chalice, the union that is prepared for by baptism, by dying to ourselves, and then coming to the chalice and receiving the body and blood of Christ, receiving divine life into ourselves. That is a mystery. It is a mystery because it cannot fully be comprehended. It cannot fully be explained. When we begin to participate in it for the first time, we are not even fully able to participate in it. But we begin. Christ comes to us like the Father running ahead to meet the prodigal who is returning to him. We are not ready to embrace Christ. We are not ready to see and to understand what we are being brought into. We will never, as human beings, be able to fully comprehend and understand what we are being brought into. That is how it was done. The reality remains the same, although the times have changed. Today, we expect to have everything explained to us beforehand. That way, we can know that we are in charge. I understand, and so I will participate. I believe, and so I will accept. And the individual maintains control at all times. And this is never going to be possible in our relationship to God. We can only receive God when we open ourselves up to him fully and completely, with total vulnerability to God, complete abandonment of dependence on ourselves. That's why the catechumens in ancient times were prepared first and were ready to accept whatever it was that God was going to do with them when they received communion. Achieving that state of mind of total vulnerability before God, complete abandonment of reliance on ourselves and our mind and our understanding, is it even possible to us as contemporary Americans and people of the West who depend on our understanding after we have become Orthodox converts, almost to a person for sure? We spend years, decades, still trying to understand, or trying at least to recapture some sense that we are receiving something that is beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension. But we only let things in that are a matter of our comprehension, a matter of our understanding. It is how we maintain control. And in that condition, we put up a barrier between us and God. We will only accept God on our terms, according to our understanding, according to the degree that he fits into my life. And that will never be our relationship to God. He is our creator. We don't believe in him on our terms. We are fallen into a faith and love of the world that we use to judge all things. We are fallen into a confidence in our own mind that we use to judge all things. The time of the great Lenten season is a time of preparation to be able to receive the Christ that is. Not on our terms, but on God's terms. The God who created the heavens and the earth. The God who cannot be fully known except as he reveals himself by his creation and in a new way that we had lost at the beginning, that he comes into the world in order to restore to us. We have to prepare to receive Christ in that kind of way. That's what we're doing during the great Lenten season. When God came out of his unknowable essence to become incarnate, it was an event similar to the creation in the beginning. Today we remember St. Gregory Palamas, and we know that he said that there is a difference between, on the one hand, the divine energies of God, his grace. In the West, it has a meaning that keeps getting in the way of our understanding these things. But when God acts, if it's the act of creation, when God acts, and it is the act of something that he does through or within creation, when God acts and he comes out of his unknowable essence and reveals himself by his action, by becoming incarnate, then he is entering the world that we are part of, the created world. God came out of that unknowable essence that is he, beyond any concept that we could make, beyond all conception. He came out of that unknowable essence that he is and became incarnate, the incarnate Son of God. Bishop Alexander wrote, not an easy book to understand, but a worthwhile book. He was an excellent teacher, and his still is an excellent teacher. He's just not at a university. Now he's our bishop. He wrote a book called Mystagogy. I'm making my way through it during Lent, among other things that I'm reading. Mystagogy is a word that refers to the final act of teaching that we receive. It comes after the beginning of our communion. For someone who is new to the faith and is a catechumen and receives their first communion on Pascha, it comes between Pascha and Pentecost. And it is, to the degree that it is possible, a putting into words of the mystery that is Christ God. Simplest way to put it. And I want to share just one piece from it with you today. It has to do with what I've already said, when God comes out of his unknowable essence, becomes incarnate. Bishop Alexander, following Saint Dionysius, the Areopagite, who said these words that Father Alexander is giving to us in explanation. Dionysius and Bishop Alexander, they say that when Christ acts in the world, he does not do divine things as God and do human things as a human being. He does divine human things in a marriage of the human and divine that had not existed until he came into the world. And our sharing, our participation in that life of Christ is our salvation. It is the restoration to us of our humanity. It is the restoration to us of our participation in God's own divinity. Our life becomes, like Christ's, a human divine life. Our life has a meaning that goes beyond our own comprehension, our own understanding. The acts that we do in the world are acts that bring God's presence into the world for one another. Our human disposition, Dionysius says, is made into something new. Disposition. It's a word that refers to all of our internal passions, desires, thoughts, ways of thinking before we act. Our disposition is now, can be, if we open ourselves up to God and receive, we come to the sacrament, we come to the chalice, and we receive. We receive physically. Sometimes that's the only way that we receive, because we haven't died to ourselves. We haven't opened ourselves up to God. But God came into the world in order to make it possible for our inner dispositions to be divine human dispositions, for us to be active divine human presences in the world. This is what he brought to us. So Christ is not acting when he does something divine. We say, oh, well, he's God, he can do that. He does something human that a human being can do, and we say, well, we can follow him in that. And we miss the fact that he came in order to arrange a marriage between ourselves at the level of our soul and our spirit, and including our body. With him, a marriage. We are preparing for a marriage of our souls when we have the services of matins, the bridegroom matins. We sing about preparing for the bridegroom. Do we have any idea of the fact that we have been preparing for the coming of the bridegroom since the beginning of the Lenten season? To open ourselves up to God, to make ourselves more and more vulnerable, to rely less and less on the things of this world, the food of this world, our confidence in ourselves, our desire to have more and more, and have more and more security, more and more worldly magnificence. We are leaving that behind, gradually, bit by bit. But we've become old hands at Great Lent by now. We know how to get through it with the minimum of inconvenience. We put up with it for a time because it's the nature of the faith that gives us our sense of identity. After all, we're so much more, so much better than those poor other Christians that don't have all that we have. Our doctrine, our teaching, our divine liturgy, all the services. Even the Lenten effort that we're making right now, it becomes another way of building ourselves up, when the whole purpose of the great Lenten season was to do exactly the opposite. To open ourselves more and more so that we can receive the Christ who is. God becomes incarnate, but he does not lose the hiddenness of the fact that ultimately he cannot be known fully. He reveals himself, but he reveals himself only to the degree that we as human beings can comprehend and understand him. That's not even adequate. Remember, he marries himself to our humanity, and he reveals to us a way of life that goes beyond our humanity as we understand it, beyond our comprehension, beyond our self-reliance. That's why we have to die to ourselves in order to be able to prepare for the marriage of our souls and our bodies to Jesus Christ. By death and resurrection, by participation in his death and resurrection, by participation by our own death and resurrection. This is the way of communion with God. This is the way of sharing his divine life, by death and resurrection, by the death of our dependence on ourselves, by the death of our arrogant preference for the magnificent things of the world, and making a great show of ourselves, and desiring that we could have more so that we could make an even greater show of ourselves. Such thoughts will tempt us during the great Lenten season because they shut down exactly what we are trying to do during the great Lenten season. Exactly the opposite. Decreasing that he might increase. We have become old hands at great Lent, and we have slid out of the very possibility of preparing ourselves to marry ourselves at the level of our souls and our bodies when we come to receive the divine sacrament that is Christ himself, the one who is ultimately unknowable and has brought his life into this world and made himself as knowable as can be by a human being, and to raise up out of us that spirit that is a holy spirit, a longing for that which is beyond ourselves and beyond this world, a longing for God himself, a longing that humbles us and encourages us to prepare so that when the light of Christ that illumineth all things that we talk about at the Liturgy of Pre-Sanctified Gifts every Wednesday, that uniquely Lenten service in the darkness during the readings of the old prophecies, the priest comes with the censer, turns from the altar with the censer and the candle. We all fall to our faces, and the priest says, "The light of Christ illumineth all." It is a foreshadowing, a prophecy of Pascha night. When we wait watchful in the darkness, this is our life, this is Lent. We are waiting in the darkness for the coming of the light in the midst of the darkness. And that's what happens on Pascha night. We wait, and then suddenly there is a light in the darkness. The bridegroom has come. Pascha comes and goes like a comet. We prepare, and then suddenly it's over. It's gone. Where did Lent go? Where did Holy Week go? Did we do the preparation? Not by bearing down with our own will and making more and more of an effort in terms of what I am trying to do Lent better, but simply by accepting the little discipline that is parish life discipline during Lent to the end of opening ourselves up to the degree that we are able, making ourselves more and more vulnerable to that moment when the light of Christ that illumineth all things is suddenly present. If we have prepared, then the light of Christ enters into us and we are able to continue to live a divine human life that is available to us in Christ. And the cost, the charge, we think is so great because we love this world so much more than God, because we love a life that will come to an end so much more than divine and eternal life that we could already begin to live now. Making that choice is how we prepare. And so when we think about the difference between the essence of God that is unknowable and the divine energies of God that are incarnate, Jesus the Christ, and accessible to us, accessible to the degree that we can take his life into our own body physically, this teaching of St. Gregory Palamas, we see, is much more intimate, much more personal than we have thought. And so let us place the things of this world and our love of this world and our preference for this world over God and over eternal life behind us as we move on through the Lenten season and as we prepare for the resurrection and the celebration of our participation in a resurrected life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.